The following is a paid presentation on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
Even a long weekend can't stop us, folks. You sound like you're not even on.
No, it's not a bad thing, is it?
You sound like you're not on either.
Yeah, you sound very raspy too. But that's all right.
Oh, there we go. The mic's around.
Well, as long as you can hear me, that's the important thing, right?
Yeah. It's the Steve Show. Welcome, Paul and Frank, on the Steve Show.
I know you guys are preoccupied getting your Taylor Swift tickets.
Wow, do you see the price of those tickets?
Well, they haven't come out yet.
Well, they're talking $2,500 to like something like $20,000 a ticket. Yeah.
Well, somebody's got them on StubHub and they haven't even.
Yeah.
So
I guess they're hoping to get some.
Yeah, they're hoping to get some, and they've already got them on StubHub. So six shows. I don't know. It's going to pop up the economy in Toronto, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everywhere she goes.
In Toronto. You know what? For the price she's charging, I wish everybody would say, yeah, no thanks.
I'd say no thanks.
Let's have her in six empty stadiums cancel the show because that's outrageous. I'm sorry, but that's
outrageous.
Now
we're going to get calls.
Yeah.
No, it's outrageous for people going through what a lot of them are. So what you're doing is you're catering to the rich, and because the average family is not going to be able, as much as their kids would love to go, what are they going to do? Take out a loan to go see Taylor Swift for 2 hours? I mean, I don't know. It just sounds crazy to me.
I'm shocked that you get all the pre-buys with the Sens, too. We get pre-buys for all these concerts before they come on. I'm shocked at the price of some of these concerts.
I know.
Like $400, $500, $600 to go to a concert.
And forget about going to dinner along with
it. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the concert show.
Yes, it's the Taylor Swift show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. We got numbers from last month. We got hopefully good news coming up for September. Fingers are crossed.
Yep.
So prices are up, Mr. Rushforth.
Yeah, it's looking, let me just get my trusty glasses on with my headset. It's always a challenge.
First, we couldn't hear you. Now we can't see.
Serious. Well, first of all, we're starting to see the listings come up, which is great. We're just under 4,000. We're at 3,762 listings, which is great. So they're starting to hit the market. Less are selling right now. It's a bit of a different market. But when we take a look at what happened in July, there's some good and there's some bad. July over July last year, we expected the numbers to be very positive because if you remember last July, we really started to dip in June last year, and especially, you know, July and August, we really dipped. But our number of sales, is up 14.6% July over July, and our average sale price is up 5.6%, which is awesome. I don't always love to look at just the monthly numbers. I like to look at the year to date, which tells a bigger picture, right? Like we're, you know, 6-7 months into the market now. So when you look at the number of sales, is down 15.7%. But keep in mind, at one point, we're almost down 40%. So we're definitely closing that gap, which is awesome. And our average sale price, which was drastically down too, we have some positive there too. The average sale price is down year to date 7.9%. So that's a lot compared to where we were the last couple years, up 19.9% and 22%. But let me tell you what's happened since the start of the year. So I've mentioned before that at the end of the year, we finished with an average sale price of $691,000 and change, which was down from our high of last year of $739,000. So we did come down a little bit. And then when you look at where we finished at the end of January, we're all the way down to $612,000. And people thought that, you know, the market was bottoming out, you know, doom and gloom, everything's going to crapola. And since then, since the end of January, we've gone from 623 at the end of Feb to 629, 646, 655. In June, we were at 658, and now we're at 662. So we are trending on the right trajectory. I should leave trajectory. The big words to you, Steve.
Easy for a realtor.
It's realtor, not realtor. So the trajectory is definitely going in the right way. So we're closing the gap with the number of sales. We're closing the gap with the average sale price.
This is homes and condos.
This is homes and condos. When you look at just residential properties, we were down average sale price 8.7%, and condos we were down 6.1%. So once again, we're closing that gap with that average sale price. We finished the year at 691. Will we get back up to 691 by the end of this year? it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough to get up, especially because we're starting to go into our fall months very soon.
Isn't that what the predictions say, though, that it's going to go up?
Well, the predictions said they were going to go up 2 to 4. I've heard some people as much as 5%. Well, 5% on a $691,000 average sale price puts you into the mid-7s. Well, right now we're in the mid-6s. How are we going to end up in the mid-7s? So I think we're definitely going to be down from where we finished last year at 691. How much? I don't really know. But I think we will make a little bit more of a comeback, maybe end around 670, 680 as our average sale price. Just be down a little bit. But keep in mind, we haven't been down since the last year that we were actually down on the average sale price was 1996, when we were down 1.9% when the average sale price was $140,000. Wow. So this could be the first
same year he graduated high school.
He didn't graduate, Steve. You're wrong.
Yeah, you're right. It's the same year. It's the same 3 years that I tried to graduate high school.
Three best years of your life. Three,
no. He had a great 7 years in high school.
Yes. Well, grade nine was the best 3 years of my life, you know? But anyways,
talking about mid-sevens, but freehold homes are mid-sevens now, right?
Well, freehold, when you look at the average sale price of a residential property, not including condominiums, yep. So we're talking about freeholds, townhomes, things like that, it's $735,000. So, you know, we're in the mid-sevens there. But when you add in condos, I mean, the average sale price of a condo right now is $433,000. So that drags you down quite a bit, right? So we're, you know, an average sale price of $662,000 in Ottawa is still very healthy. If you would have told me 3 years ago that our average sale price was going to be $662,000, I would have told you absolutely not.
What would it have been 3 years ago?
Well, 3 years ago, if you look, let's say you go back to 2019, $441,000. You know, now we're at $662,000. So if you would have told me
the price of a condo.
If you would have told me in 2019 that in 3 years, well, it wouldn't be a little more than 3 years, maybe 4 years, our average sale price would be in the mid to higher sixes, I would have said you're mad. But look where we are right now. So not all doom and gloom. I know people are thinking right now that the market is really, really tough. It is kind of tough, but we're still, when you look at, you know, days on market and inventory and stuff like that, like our days on market has increased to 26 days on market for freeholds from 20 of last July and up from last month of 23. We're still under a month on market. So, I mean, you remember back in the days we were talking and we were six months on market. We're now at 26 days. I know we used to be nothing, but now we're at 26 days, healthy market. And I love some of these new agents are like, wow, this market's tough. I'm like, no, this is a normal.
You haven't seen nothing yet.
Well, this is a normal market. You haven't seen nothing yet when you see this, you know, we used to carry hundreds of listings and it was tough. I mean, really tough. This is just a nice balance, but it's a seller's market, but it feels like a nice balanced market and it's good for realtors and it's good for sellers and buyers.
Yeah, and some people think it's a buyer's market.
Well, in some areas, it is actually a buyer's market. When you look at some of these newer areas where there's lots of new home builders in the area and they might have, you know, 20, 30, 40 comparables on the market, it's a bit of a buyer's market in some of these areas. But when you balance it over the city, there's lots of areas that are still in that seller's market. So it keeps us into that seller's market. We've always said 0 to 4 months of inventory is a seller's market, and we're on 26 days, so we're less than a month on market, so it's a strong seller's market. Even though it doesn't feel like it, it is.
So we're talking about mortgages or homes selling for $2,500,000 more than 3 years ago. Does that mean mortgages have gone up by that much too?
The average mortgage has gone up, obviously, so what happened, again, I mean, you know, we're in a scenario where people have more equity than they've ever had in their homes as well. So, you know, we're not, you know, you read some of the media reports and it's all doom and gloom. And is there doom and gloom out there? Of course there is, especially with the high cost of everything and the interest rates being as high as they are. But there's another side to it, which doesn't get a lot of mentions, which is the fact that Canadians have more equity in their homes that they've owned for anything over a year, year and a half. They've got way more equity than they ever anticipated they would. So, you know, they're equity rich, but they're cash poor, because mortgage payments have gone up, and anybody that's got a mortgage that's coming up for maturity this year has felt the pain, because they're coming off of high twos, low threes, going into the fours, high fours, and mid fives now. So that's the pain, and that's why you read all these media reports that people are struggling, because their mortgage payments have gone up significantly. But the flip side is that they've got a lot of equity in their homes. So, you know, what I say to some clients, yeah, your amortization's down to 20, but if you want to keep your payments similar, you got to go up to 30. But look at the equity you have in your home. There's no way 5 years ago
we could have
predicted that you would have had this much equity in your home. You bought the house with 5% down. Now you have $250,000 worth of equity in your home. not bad. You've done well.
If the market stayed the way it did 2, 3, 4 years ago, or even probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, with the average sale price just motoring along like it was, and the rates did what they did today, it would be ugly out there right now. But
absolutely.
I think, like Frank said, consumers are very lucky right now that, yes, the rates are higher. Yes, mortgages are much more expensive. But look at the wealth you've accumulated in your property from that built-up, you know, COVID crazy market. People are their people's houses, and I keep reminding sellers that when we go to see them and they're upset about their prices, their mortgages and stuff. And I'm like, guys, keep in mind, if I would have come to see you 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been telling you 7. I would have been telling you high 4s.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, it's gone up that much. I mean, our two best years were 19.9% and 22% back-to-back years average sale price.
Incredible.
Incredible. Like, you're never going to see that again. I mean, I was going to say in your lifetime, Steve, but that's a little shorter than mine. So, but in my life,
for sure, in my lifetime.
but in my lifetime, I don't think that we're going to see that again. I mean, I know we're not going to see that again. So
how many people at the peak that bought at the peak took 2 and 3 year mortgages?
Probably not as many as would have liked to. I still say that a majority of people have fixed mortgages. So, you know, we talk about the variable and everybody talks about these variable. It's still a very small percentage of Canadians that have a variable rate mortgage. So, but that small percentage are really feeling the pain. I mean, anytime you go up 5% on prime rate, you're going to feel the pain.
Yeah, no kidding.
The lenders are telling a different story. Again, I had another 2 meetings this week with lenders. They are adamant right now that their delinquencies are still lower than they were when COVID started. So they're actually still below when COVID started on the delinquencies. Now, they do see it trending up, but very, very, very slowly. So that's good news. Again, Canadians historically are known for always make your mortgage payments. Do not let your mortgage payments get in arrears. Let everything else get in arrears. And the most important thing that most people own is their phones. The one thing I can tell you from looking at credit bureaus, the one thing that has the most lates on it is cell phone bills.
Wow.
Yet it's the most important thing that Canadians own. They couldn't live without it, but they'll miss a cell phone payment before they miss a credit card payment and a car loan payment. Although I do have friends in the car industry, and they're saying that they're now starting to repossess more cars than they have in a long, long time.
Really?
So we're seeing
those
that.
Those interest rates are higher too now.
Well, the interest rates are higher, and the fact that they can't afford to carry those expensive cars. During COVID, they had extra money. Now that extra money is going away, the ones that really put themselves out, you're thinking, oh my God, like this is going to continue, and now it hasn't continued because the price of everything else has gone up. They're the ones that are
feeling
it. That
proves your point. Save the house first.
Save the house first, yeah.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Back with Frank Bolzano and Paul Rushforth. Long weekend.
Long weekend, yeah.
And 1 month, almost to the day, the Bank of Canada gets back together again.
Yep.
And
well, job
unemployment
report
is up just a tick, but it's 3 in a row.
3 months in a row, unemployment, job losses. After that report came out, TELUS came out, and they're laying off a number, thousands of Canadians as well. So we're starting to see the remnants of what was expected maybe a few months ago. We're really starting to see it come to fruition now. Which, fingers crossed, means that Bank of Canada will pause their rate hikes. That's the hope right now.
Is that your prediction?
That's my prediction
now. Mine too.
Here's the other thing that I predict, though, is I think that by looking at the way they calculate inflation, I know it's going to sound bad, but I believe that inflation will go from 2.8 to 3% this month.
Why?
But only because of the core factors that they use. So some of the factors, because they do it year over year. So last year, like oil as an example, oil's big reason why inflation came down. Well, because it was a $70 a barrel, now it's up to $82 a barrel. So we'll start to see, and you probably see it at the pumps. You know, it's gone up to $1.60, $1.70. So that will probably drive inflation up a little bit, but 0.2. But they're expecting that. And the fact that the jobs is the more important factor now that they're looking at. So I do believe that we're going to see the inflation number go up, but Bank of Canada holds steady in September.
I agree with Frank. I'm not as detailed as Frank is in my analysis, but I don't think that they can raise rates at all.
You think we're done for the rest of the year?
I think so. And there's some economists out there that think there's going to be some heavy drops starting in the second quarter of next year. So then they're going to be really aggressive at dropping prime rate.
What's aggressive?
Aggressive means dropping by one percentage point for the balance of 2024 and then about 2 percentage points in 2025. That's what they're predicting right now. So
now, hold on.
But again, it's gone up 5%. Yeah. So if we get 1 and 2, we're down to 3. Again, now we're back to more reasonable numbers and traditional numbers as opposed to the highs that we're at right now.
But these are the losses or the drops that we thought were coming in 2023,
right?
Like we thought they were coming in 2023. Now we're talking about a 1% in 24, 2% in 25. You know, we're a couple of years delayed on that right now.
Don't forget, they weren't supposed to go up until 2024.
Right.
Well, yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah. We were
labor market is the reason that we're seeing them, you know, go up a little bit. And now the labor market 3 months in a row started to retract a little bit. Hopefully that'll put the brakes on.
Well, they're also blaming a lot of inflation on the real estate market too, right? I mean, that's why they're trying to shut it down, is they're blaming it on the real estate market.
They want people to stop spending money.
Guess what? Why don't the government stop spending money? Let's start with that. Right, I mean that's why we're in inflation. That's why our inflation.
They don't do anything wrong. 70,000 on a limo for 3 days in Iceland isn't aggressive, is it?
No, that's normal.
No. We're closing emergency rooms.
These days,
it's
not a down payment on a house.
Yeah. Well, it's not. But we're closing. Hospitals are having to close their emergency. Like, this is the part that bothers me. I'm just a normal. You know, I just think logically. We're closing emergency rooms. Some hospitals, local hospitals, are having to close emergency rooms because they don't have staff. But yet we have a government official going to spend $70,000 on, like, the whole thing is just wrong on so many on so many sides. It's wrong.
Well, we're so short of paramedics right now, so short of paramedics that people who are actually need a paramedic a lot of times can't even get a paramedic or an ambulance to come to their house, and they're saying you can't come back as a paramedic unless you're vaccinated.
Listen,
yeah, we're so short.
I got the solution. I've passed it on. Hopefully they listen. It's not difficult. Give anybody that goes into the health field an interest-free loan while they're in school. If they work in the industry for 3 years, forgive that loan. We forgive billions of dollars and everything else. Why wouldn't we forgive that? Like, that would make, to me, would make sense to forgive. Forgive those loans. Like, let Canadians be motivated to become healthcare workers, because that's where we're short. And we're adding 1 million people, yet we're not adding any healthcare workers. Like, it doesn't make sense. You know, inflation's a big problem because, you know, Ben Rabidoux, who we had on the show, he had a conference this week, I was on. He said, here's the problem. Every year we're allowing a city the size of Ottawa of immigration, but they all have to move into Orleans because that's what we're doing. We're allowing 1 million people in, but we're only building enough homes for Orleans. So 1 million people got to move into Orleans, which is, what's the population of Orleans, 150,000? Maybe 200,000?
I don't even know.
No, but that's his point. Like that, yeah. We have 1 million people coming in, but there's only homes for 200,000 people. That's what we're doing here right now. Yeah. We're not building enough homes for the 1 million people. So, you know, I think there's some pressure on right now for immigration to be slowed down a little bit, because it's going to hurt the country.
Well, overall. I think there's a lot of pressure to slow immigration down and get more homes built.
Well,
It's already, I mean, I have some friends who are builders. Some are small builders and some are working for some bigger builders. And the red tape is already slowly starting to be cut. But, you know, if the red tape on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 10, now it's an 8. You know, so
it's still a lot.
It's still a lot. It's still a lot. They've cut it, you know, maybe 2 points, and it's a little bit easier to get a shovel in the ground. But it's, you know, by the time you're waiting for permits and you're waiting for all the rigmarole, it's months. It's months before you can get a shovel in the ground. And I know they're working hard to get more building going on. It's not fast enough.
And it picked up last month in Ottawa, though.
Yeah.
It did pick up last month in Ottawa, and that's great. But we're still probably about a quarter of where we need to be when it comes to housing starts. It needs to go quicker and faster and stuff like that. And I don't blame builders. Builders back in the day used to build on spec, and then someone would come buy the property. Well, builders got a little bit smarter and realized, much like car dealerships where they don't have hundreds of cars on the lot anymore, builders stopped building on spec and they started building on sales. Once you sold something, once you bought something, then they'd start building it. And I would love to see builders have some sort of assistance from the government to start building on spec again, because when you're building on spec and you got 40, 50, 60 homes, people can walk in, they can feel, they can touch, and they buy quickly. There's a lot of people that aren't building because they can't see, touch, and feel. And I think if we can start building on spec again and give some sort of assistance to builders to build on spec, I think that will take care of a big part of this problem.
Ooh, there would need to be, because I can't see anybody doing it on spec in this economy.
Well, you, there's some big builders. I mean, you look at the Mintos and the Mattamies of the world. I mean, they got deep pockets. The Cardells, I mean, they have some deep pockets, and they could build on spec. But their philosophy now is, why would we? Well, why would I build on spec and hope someone comes to buy the house when I can just build on sales and I know the house is sold and I'm getting my deposits from this buyer? So they're not building on spec right now. But I think if we could correct that somehow, and I don't know what that looks like. I'm just spitballing here. If we could find some sort of assistance for builders to build on spec, and it's not the big builders only like the Mintos and the Matamis, but, you know, the medium-sized builders that, you know, build 100, 150 homes a year, or even the smaller builders, some sort of assistance to build on spec, whether it's maybe there it's some sort of loan if it's not sold. But but back in the day when builders were building on spec, we did not have any of these problems. You know, you'd walk into a Minto subdivision, there'd be 50, 60, 70 homes you can choose from. You know, now there's four.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
Well, when I was a first-time home buyer buying, I remember buying from a builder, and you'd go look at six different models, and you pick the model you want. And then you can make minor alterations, but they were minor alterations. They weren't major. Is that still happening or no? Or are they now different?
So there's definitely model homes and models you can walk through in that, but there's not as many for one. And two, usually you're buying off plans.
Right.
You're buying off plans.
Yeah. Speaking of builders, though, on the next, when we come back, something that's really concerning when you buy from a builder is potentially coming.
Oh.
Ooh. He's the hooker.
Yep.
What a hook. What a hook.
Did you just call
521-TALK? 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show. On News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Mr. Rushworth's here. Mr. Napolitano.
Let's have it, Frankie.
Yeah, you got us. You got our attention.
All right. So the Ford government has a recent consultation out on new home buying.
Okay.
One of the clauses they want to put in there, and I know you've seen lots of them, these agreements where they're already 50 pages, and then there's usually the addendum, which is another 4 or 5 pages, fine print, nobody reads. Well, Ford government is looking at giving green light to builders to have the ability, if construction costs go up, even though the consumer signs a contract for a certain price point, to be able to increase that price point based on the fact that the cost of construction has gone up during the build.
After your deal is done.
After you've signed the contract. That's
like
a consultation.
I hate that.
Well, let's say that you're relying on that $775 price range, a price from the builder, and you go to sell your house, and you're only buying that because you can afford that $775. But if it goes to $800, you can't afford that house anymore unless you can sell your house for more than it's actually worth. And all of a sudden it goes to $800. What do you do?
Well,
I don't like that.
Here's another scenario. If you're looking at a new home and this is a possibility, are you going to get a new home or are you going to get a pre-owned home?
That's the thing.
I'm buying resale. I'm buying resale all day.
Why would I buy a new home and leave myself subject to that? So, and what bothers me about the consultation itself is it doesn't put in what if construction costs came down.
Yeah.
Would the price come down then? Like, and who measures the construction costs have gone up?
Where's the proof?
Who measures that? The builder? Like who
Well, then it's a double whammy because now you're not sure what the house price is going to be. Plus you're not sure where rates are going to be when your home is done.
That, and now add to the point that, you know, they're saying, well, that's what Tarion's there for. It's like, no, they're not. Tarion is owned by the construction companies, by the builders. I'm sorry, but there are thousands and thousands of Canadians out there that are struggling with Tarion to get what they think is right done for them. So let's not rely on Tarion, and I don't think they should anyway.
You know what's going to happen?
At the end of the day, a contract is a contract, and I sign a contract that you're going to build my house for $775,000. That's what I'm paying for it. You change the price, then I should have the opt-out at that point. Like. I get to get out of it.
So the big builders, in my opinion, they're going to get together and say, no, the price is the price. We can put that clause in there all you want, but we're going to let people know the price is the price. Because what's going to happen is they're going to build that house, that $775,000 house. They're going to build it, and it's going to go up to $800,000. Well, guess what that model starts at next time? $800,000, right? Yeah. There's no longer, that $775,000 is gone. I mean, I look at, my snow plowing contract. It went for my East End office, it went from $4,000 for the winter, all the way during COVID when the diesel prices went crazy, to $9,000. So I said to the guy I just got my renewal. It's now $10,000 for my parking lot. And I said to him, I said, whoa, you told me it went from $4 to $9 because the price of diesel and salt and all that stuff. Well, diesel's come down. Why is my price going up? Well, can't go below $9 now. You know, so that's what's going to happen with homes.
Well, that's with food. That's what's happening with food. They're not bringing the price of food down. They're just going to stop it from increasing, but they're not going to bring it down.
And so now they're going to do that with housing? Like, I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Why would they think of doing that?
I think a lot of builders struggled, and rightfully so. They did during COVID. You know, when if anybody bought a house in 2020, early 2020, they got a certain price. Well, then by the time that the builder started building it, they obviously struggled because the cost of everything went up. Wood, drywall, some of it doubled. So therefore, the builders put themselves in a position of a loss, and I guess some builders went to the government and said, we're losing money. Now, Ford is very closely associated with home builders as well in the Toronto area because his relationships are very strong in that field. So I think he's probably listening to some of the home builders in Toronto that have said to him, listen, I mean, we took a bath. We may not be building any more homes unless we got some protections in case this happens again to us.
So. Well, what you do? You build your protection into the list price, and you hope to be able to sell.
See, I think that's hogwash, first of all, because builders jacked up their prices faster than resale went up. I mean, in Ottawa here, you used to be able to buy a 3,000-square-foot home 3 years ago for like mid to high sevens. Now, if you're looking at some of the builders, and especially through the peak when it was going nuts, you were buying 2,300 square feet for $1.1 million from the builders. They jacked their prices up. So I can understand the cost of lumber went up, the cost of everything went up to build a property, but so did the prices a lot faster than what the price of lumber and that went up.
But I remember when you went to rent your townhome and you said, wow, this is crazy what the new builders are asking. They were ahead of the curve. They knew it was coming.
They were ahead of the curve. I still remember, I'm not going to say the builder, but it's a decent-sized builder, and I still remember walking in. This is sort of like near the start of COVID when prices were just slowly starting to go up, and I walked in. At that time, townhomes in Orleans were going for like anywhere from $325 to $335, somewhere in that range for a bigger townhome. And I walked into this new home sales center, and I was looking at their models, and I was, well, you got some beautiful models. What's the biggest one you have? About 1,850 square feet. So what are you asking? $475. And I said, what? On the resale market, they're going for like $335. How are you asking $475? They're like, well, we believe the prices are about to go insane and we're asking $475. And I looked at the guy or the girl right in the face and I said, good luck with that.
Apparently you shouldn't have said that.
I walked out actually laughing at her, not knowing what was about to happen, which nobody knew what was about to happen, except for maybe this builder. Yeah. And I remember going back 6 months later thinking, wow, that $475 is a deal.
Yeah.
Where at the time I was laughing at the lady. So that's where prices just went escalating. But then when that builder puts their townhomes at $475, what do you think the next builder does?
Yeah.
He doesn't go to $350. They go to $475.
And what happens to resale? That goes up too.
So the combination of the new home builders pricing up super high brought up the resale price. The combination of being outnumbered in Toronto, where you couldn't afford anything in Toronto, brought these Toronto buyers here. They were buying these homes cash, laughing at us, thinking, well, how cheap is that? That brought the prices up, and it was just a perfect storm. Perfect storm. Rates were super low. Toronto buyers coming here. New home builders pushing up the prices. They were at the forefront of it all, pushing up all the prices. And then what had to follow? Resale, right? And that's exactly what happened with the prices.
If that clause comes into fruition, they have to be able to give you an out. They have to.
I think. I'd like to think that, but
With a penalty, probably.
Why?
Well, I'm sure they're not going to let people just walk away from homes.
But if they're the ones changing.
But they're the ones saying $775 is now $825. No, I didn't sign for $825. Give my money back. Go sell it to somebody else.
In these times, I would never sign anything with that uncertainty.
No, me either.
Never.
Me either.
Well, builders right now, builders are having people walking away, but there's people walking away from large deposits. Like I know one person.
$50,000. I got two or three clients that are $50,000 they walked away from.
I have one person who's walking away from a $75,000 deposit because they can't get their home sold. So there's a build, and the builders are...
Well, it's a double whammy
for them. They're not being overly nice, but I don't blame them, right? Because what happened in this situation, the people bought the house for 1.1. So if they walk away and they lose that 75, I'm willing to bet this house is worth about 9 to 925 now. So the builders are going to lose on that. So even keeping their deposit, the builders are still going to lose on that because the prices have come down.
But at the time when you're buying a house a couple of years ago and you're waiting for it to be finished and the rates changed as much as they did, by the time that house is done, you're going, I just can't afford it now.
I can't afford it anymore. Where it used to be the other way, right? You used to buy a house and move into it 2 months or 2 years later and be like, wow, I made lots of money.
Would have appreciated before you're in, and rates were crazy low.
Yeah. So there's only a few months over the last probably 5 years that I really are concerned for people, and that's in Jan, Feb, March, April, and potentially May of 2022. If you bought in those 5 months, I mean, no one foresaw the rate or the market going crazy, but also no one saw it coming down as quick as it did because we didn't see rates going up like it went up. No one thought there was going to be 8 rate hikes in a row, right? It was 8, eh, Frank?
Yeah.
It was 8. No one saw 8 rate hikes in a row, which really dampened the market. So what it did is it hurt the people who bought in Jan, Feb, March, April, and May of 2022. Now, I've always said real estate's a long game. So don't panic if you did buy in those months. And I've had many calls from people who did buy in those months, very upset about it. And I'm just like, tell me your situation. They tell me their situation. I said, so it sounds like you're going to be in this home for another at least 8 to 10 years. Yes, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't worry about it at all.
So if you bought then, would you say 5 years probably the break even if you had to sell given all the fees and everything?
It all depends on what happens with the market. And yeah. And to be honest with you, if what I predict is going to happen, I think we're going to see another mini version. I thought it was going to happen faster. But with the lack of inventory we have here in the Ottawa real estate market, as soon as those rates start dropping, we're going to see another very, very strong, strong seller's market. So if you don't have to sell and you bought in those 5 months, don't panic. Your home will rebound and probably faster than you think. And then there's others who bought just at the start of the pandemic and are just sitting there laughing right now. So you can never time the real estate market, especially here in Ottawa, because I'm a strong believer in the market here in Ottawa is always going to slowly go up.
You know what? On the other side of that, if you did buy 2-3 years ago, you're locked in at a pretty good rate right
now. Yeah,
you are. And that's the concern. And that's why I think that, you know, most economists think that next year we'll start to see the rates come down and then a heavier presence of interest rate drops in 2025, because that's when that'll be the beginning of those ultra low mortgage rates starting to come up for renewal towards the middle of 2025 and into 2026. So, and politically, there's an election likely happening then as well. So, again, everything lines up for interest rates to be. And historically, I remember, you know, as much as Canadians used to take 5-year mortgages in the U.S. before they came out with a 30-year long, used to say, like, try to get your mortgage that it happens around election year because yep. That's when the interest rates are at their lowest point, usually
so,
in that 4-year period.
Let me use this show for my selfish gain then. I've always said that I have my only ugly mortgage that I have is coming up for renewal in October of 2024. And I remember when rates were slowly going up, thinking to myself, oh, I'm fine. I'm 2.5 years away. The rates will definitely be down. Now we're talking about potentially 1 point next year, potentially 2 points coming down in 2025. What do I do in October 2024?
Well, we got to see where we're at.
Yeah.
That's just it. I mean, it's so hard. We get clients to call us and they have maturities coming up in April and May. And I say to them, let's just sit tight for now. Like realistically, it feels like interest rates are coming down and should be coming down between now and the spring. But I can't guarantee that because we thought they were already going to start to come down. But it sure feels like we're now on the right trajectory where rates are going to start to drop a little bit.
I'm going to find out where we're at with fixed rates and what's going to happen in the next few months with fixed rates when we come back. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show. All right. What's going to happen with fixed rates? We talk a lot about the prime. Where are we at with fixed and where are we going?
You know, you got the prime rate at 7.2 at the bank. So depending on your circumstances, I mean, there's still a lot of clients out there with prime minus one. You still get a prime minus 0.9. If you're, you know, if you've either had have a mortgage coming up for renewal, that's at 65% loan to value or less, which happens a lot. If you're in a 5-year mortgage, you've likely built up that 35% worth of equity, regardless of whether you bought with 5% down or more. So, you know, if you wanted to go into a variable because you anticipate that rates are coming down over the next year or two, you're paying a little bit of premium up front, but you're not locking yourself into a longer term rate because fixed rates have come up over the last 2 months since Bank of Canada resumed hiking rates. So the bond markets have gone up. So now you're looking at, you know, 5-year fixed rates in the 5.5% range to lock in for 5 years. Versus if you can get prime minus 0.9, it's 6.3. So it's, and then people say, well, then wouldn't it make sense to take a 2-year mortgage? Sure, but the 2-year mortgages are also in the sixes somewhere. So
I'd still take that and stomach that for 2 years.
Well, and that's just it, right? So again, this is where, like, the banks are calling their variable rate customers saying to them, listen, you've endured enough. You should lock in now. But so, yeah, you're telling Canadians to lock in when the fixed rates are at their peak, which seems kind of silly at this point.
Yeah, you're a little late with that call.
Yeah. You should have made that call a year ago, a year and a half ago. So, but they're doing it now because as clients are getting closer to their renewals, when they're getting to that 1 year or 2 year, the bank is trying to hook them for another 5 years. So, you know, at that point is when I say you've already ridden most of it out now, especially the hikes, which are we think are finished now. So if you can continue to ride it out right now, wait now for the rates to start coming down because now we're going on the other side. So
yeah, it's not like going through pain for the last 2 years and then now, oh, I'll jump in for another 5 years of somewhat pain.
Yeah. Which we see people do in the stock market, right? I mean, people wait for it to go up. Okay, now I'll buy it. Like, okay, it's done well over the last 2 years. But then, of course, it hits its peak and starts to go down and people get frustrated. Same thing on the mortgage side. I mean, you know, timing is very difficult to do and real estate is a long term. But if you own the home for 5 years, you've built up a lot of equity in it. So, you know, if you're in a variable right now and you need to do something, maybe the right move is to stay in the variable. If you truly believe that rates are coming down, like most economists are predicting now, and they're much more firm about it now than they were 4 or 5 months ago. Now they're very firm because they've seen the job reports, you know, start to come back negatively over the last 3 months. So they're starting to see the cracks in the foundation. And when you've got major big companies like, you know, this company, Bell Media and TELUS that are having these major layoffs, the banks don't lay off, they just don't replace. So when people leave the banks, they just don't replace that job. So they don't call it a layoff, but technically it could be a layoff as well. So,
but your choice now is variable or 5 year because it doesn't make sense for the 1 and 2.
Well, no, see, no. I disagree with that.
So
Steve.
Do I.
Yeah.
Especially with the bank.
Yeah.
If you're going to go with the big bank, I would shy away from the 5 year because the penalty policy for you to break it 2 years from now, if rates do come down tremendously like is expected, is crazy. Then you're not going to be able to get out. So if you're with a big bank, if you're with a non-bank lender, at least their penalty policy is fair. Where with a big bank, the penalty policy isn't as fair because they use their posted rates and therefore your penalty won't be worth it to get out. So if you're with a big bank, I would suggest you might be wiser to go into a variable rate mortgage and or a 1 or 2 year. The other thing that's really helping a lot of Canadians, as bad as it is, but these banks that have the static payment variable rate mortgages, that's actually helped Canadians because they've been able to keep their payments low.
Until renewal.
And they're going to feel the pain in renewal. So if a lot of those have their renewals coming up in towards the latter part of 2024 and into 2025, then at least they'll have some payment relief at that or interest rate relief that'll help them.
I would honestly agree with
short term.
I hate to say it, but I kind of agree with Frank.
You say it, but you're twice, either in, three times a show. So we're used.
You're
to
either
it.
In the sixes, or you're almost in the sixes.
Well, I would stay variable, and if I didn't stay variable, I'd probably take a 2 year because, as Frank said, he thinks 2025 is when we're going to see the lowest we're going to see. So take a 2 year. I know it's way more than you want to spend on a 2 year, but you're out of it in 2 years, right?
But it's not for everyone. So some people are really nervous. They need the 5 year. They need peace of mind for 5 years. So do I agree with it? No, but I understand why you think that way. And I would certainly want to honor your request at that point.
Yeah, you'll give the advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Birthdays.
Birthdays. I got a couple. My nephew, Matthew Napolitano, celebrated his birthday this week, and Josh Gray, one of our top agents, celebrating his birthday. So happy birthday.
Only two?
Just
and
two.
Only one with vowels?
And only one with vowels. Well, Josh Gray, EO. Gratio. Joshua.
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nada. Nada. Wow.
Paul at PaulRushforth.com. Frank N at MortgageBrokersOttawa.com. Have a great week, gentlemen.
Have a great
Enjoy
long weekend.
Long weekend.
Yeah,
Enjoy.
And support local businesses and charities.